Thank you, Lord. I want to share right now from the Word, and we'll worship and giving and greet one another in just a little bit of time. Our worship team, would you stay close? Thank you, Lord. So we're in this holiday season, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And we all know that he wasn't born in December. But that's not what we're focused on as much as focusing on the fact that he came, amen? And that he's here. But I want to reference a passage in relation to his coming to share a thought this morning. That hopefully is a word of encouragement for all of us. I'm going to read from a couple of different passages of Scripture, so I need you to just kind of focus and stay engaged. And Eric, just keep flowing with me, sir. First, John chapter 1. Thank you. John chapter 1, and starting at verse 1. Some of you still use the traditional Bibles. Others have their iPads or phones. So if you happen to be one who's turning pages and you're there, say, I'm there. Father, I want to honor you and thank you for your incredible presence. We never, ever want to take you for granted. Father, I pray that you would cause your word to come alive now. Use me to speak your word, to bring clarity to your thoughts, to articulate them in this moment. Our eyes are on you. Our ears are attentive to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was the light, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. Then I want you to drop down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the glory only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And then I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Starting at verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. We look at this sun and see the God we cannot see. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. I want to talk to you just for a few moments from this thought. He is working his plan. He is working his plan. Would you say that? He is working his plan. Say it a little louder.
He is working his plan.
He is working his plan. And the good news is you and I are part of his plan. I love reading passages of scripture that bring into focus how great God is, how incredible he is. In that passage there in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That means everything that exists is because of the Word. Everything that exists is because of Jesus. And so as I was reading and just meditating on this season and our time together as we end out this year, I found myself back again in the book of Luke, chapter 1. And in Luke, the story unfolds of chapter 1 of a priest by the name of Zacharias, who amongst all the priests had this incredible assignment to go into the temple and to minister to the Lord. It was one of two times in any given year that they would offer up sacrifice on behalf of the people. It says that there were so many priests, though, amongst them, something like 18,000 of them, that they chose by lot who would have the opportunity. And when they had that opportunity, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, meaning that Zacharias was only going to get to do this one time. It was a sacred time. It was a sacred time where he would go in and he would minister from the outer court to the inner court, making his way into the Holy of Holies. And the people would gather and the people would be praying, and there were other priests there waiting for him, that after he did the duties, the priestly duties, that he would come back out and then that they would speak a blessing over the people. His return indicated that God had received the offering. Had he not returned, they knew something was up. As a matter of fact, with the encounter that Zacharias had, he stayed in there longer than he was supposed to, and they started getting anxious and wondering what's taking so long. Because after years of this happening, they kind of knew the time frame and how long this should take. But when Zacharias went in to minister and to offer up the sacrifices, he had a divine encounter. Say divine encounter. There was a divine interruption. And the Bible makes us to know that while he was going about his priestly duties, it says that an angel showed up
on the right side of the altar of incense. The right side signifies the side of favor. So right in the middle of him doing what he's doing, an angel shows up. That angel is Gabriel. Gabriel's name means man of God. And Gabriel shows up, and the first thing he says to Zacharias is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." He says, "Your prayers have been answered." Now, some might believe that what the angel was talking about is that they had been praying for a child. But the truth is, or let me give you a different perspective, because we think the fact that she had a baby, that was the answer to the prayer. But a number of theologians just simply believe, no, they were just praying like everybody else for the Messiah. And that's the prayer that was being answered. Is it possible that you can be praying and God answers a prayer that includes you, but it's not the prayer you were praying for you? But it includes you. It's bigger than you. Say, it's bigger than me. And so he says, your prayers have been answered. And he tells him, he says, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. And Zacharias hears this, and in the New American Standard Version, he responds this way: "How shall I know this for certain?" Now, another way, he says, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." So that's an indication that the prayer that Gabriel was talking about wasn't their praying for a child, or he would have just said, "Thank you, bless God." No, it was something altogether different. But he poses the question and says, okay, how do I know? Another way of putting it, how do I know this is for real? How do I know you're for real? And Gabriel makes a very qualifying statement when he says, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to you to speak to you and to bring to you this good news." He's saying, wait a minute, I need to help you understand the gravity of this matter. I stand in the presence of God. I got it straight from the throne. I didn't come from the other side of town. This ain't a state-to-state trip. This is like intergalactic or something. This is from a very far place, but coming into your space. But because of how he responded, it helped Gabriel to know that he has the potential to struggle through this, not stop it, but frustrate it. And that's when he says to Zacharias, he says, "Behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." He is working his plan. Amen. And you and I are a part of it. He is working his plan, and you and I are a part of it. So after being in there and he gets this incredible word, when he comes out, he can't talk. So he can't really explain what happened. Furthermore, he can't hear. And the reason you find that out is later on when John is born. And on the eighth day of the circumcision, they gather together and they're all calling him Zacharias. And Elizabeth says, no, his name is John. Now at that point, Zacharias has been silent and deaf for 9 months. So he's sitting off to the side, and then they say, hey, Zacharias, what do you say about this? Matter of fact, it says they sign it. However they signed back in those days, because he couldn't hear. They sign it to him. He signs back, give me something to write with. And they give him something to write with, and he simply writes, his name is John. At the moment he wrote those words, his tongue was loose. And he began to praise God, and he began to thank God. What they didn't realize is that he was working his plan, not their plan. You see, because they said, nobody in your family is named John. Where does this name come from? And I'm here to tell you that in the working of his plan, there will continue to be divine interruptions all along the way. There will be some divine interventions that come in the way of an interruption. Here's a man in there doing his priestly duties only to be interrupted by an angelic being, but he brings him a word that's going to change the trajectory of all of mankind, because he says to him, he's going to be the one to be the forerunner for the Savior of the world. In that moment, it changed the priesthood forever. It changed it forever. He is working his plan. And if there's some things that I want us to grab real quick out of this text is how he's working. How he's working. So three thoughts I want to say to us. The first one is this. Let me say it first this. Zacharias is just living his life, doing his job, living his life. Doing his job, living his life, doing his job, living his life, faithfully doing his job. Family, every day, in and out, same thing, over and over, just going along, going along, going along, going along. Any of you feel like you're just going along, going along, going along, going? Okay. I want to encourage you to raise your expectation for the divine interruption of his will, his word being fulfilled. His will, his word being fulfilled. Hear me when I say this, because it's not always the word that you got. See, it was not on Zacharias' radar. It wasn't on Elizabeth's radar that we're going to have a son that's going to be the forerunner for the Savior. Wasn't on their radar. Wasn't on their radar. He happened to be the guy who got the assignment at the appointed time, makes his way into the place of ministry, serving God. And in the midst of that, God says, you're the one. He is working his word. He is working his plan. The reason why I wanted to read the passage that spoke of in the beginning was the word and read from Colossians all that the word encompasses is because it's out of that perspective that you and I believe in this season, God wants us to heighten our expectation once again, stir it up once again. Zacharias, they weren't praying for a baby. They were praying for the Messiah, but he says by his own words, I need you to help me understand how this is supposed to work. I'm old, she's old. And what the angel knew, what Gabriel knew is, I can't let you leave up out of here talking like that at all. because he is working his plan, and you're a part of it.
Amen.
So the first thing I want to say to you is this. The word, listen to me now, the word will find you to fulfill its assignment. The word will find you to fulfill his assignment. I'm going to say it again. The word will find you to fulfill his assignment. I'm going to say it again. The word will find you to fulfill his assignment. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word will find you to fulfill his assignment. You see, I want to move us just a little bit out of this place of the word being it to the word being him. The word is here. He's the word. He's the word. The word, Jesus, will find you to fulfill his assignment. You see, Zacharias, he's just going about his assignment faithfully, just like many of you. You're on your assignment right now. You're faithful, but I'm telling you, the word will find you. You don't have to go to conference after conference after conference. You don't have to go to this church or run to that church or go to this prophet or go to... All you got to do is stay in that consistent place of seeking him, acknowledging him, just calling on every day you get to say, Jesus. You ain't got to say anything else. I just want to acknowledge that you're here. I want to acknowledge that you're with me. The word, Jesus will find you to fulfill his assignment. Zacharias was just doing his job. And I want to encourage some of you that feel like you're just doing your job. You're not just biding your time. I remember those days of feeling like, you know, I just can't wait till I get in ministry. I'm just plodding along trying to get through this job. When all of it is a part of, because the word will find you. You can be sitting at your cubicle. You can be sitting at your desk. You can be out somewhere in some field working on something, and the word will find you. He'll tap. Minding your own business, so to speak, and all of a sudden get that tap on the shoulder that tells you. Get that tap on the shoulder that tells you it's about to shift. Some things are about to shift. And when word came to Zacharias, he wasn't quite ready for it. He wasn't quite ready for it. So the second thing that we must understand is this. You must be committed to cooperating with the word before it arrives. And ye moshata. You must be willing to cooperate with the word before he arrives. You must be willing to cooperate with the word before he arrives. Before you hear it, before he speaks it, you must be willing to cooperate with the word before he arrives, meaning that you've already said yes. You've already said yes. I don't know what I'm saying yes to, but I know one thing for sure. You're going to always do good by me. So I'm going to say yes right now. You've never, ever. Never, ever. Hurt me. I say yes. You must be committed to cooperating with the word before he arrives. Say yes. No, I'm saying say yes. You need to say yes. You need to say yes. Let me tell you what some of that yes is about for some of you. See, you've got your plan. But you don't realize that for the greater fulfillment of your plan, someone else has to fulfill their plan. They got to get the contract that causes them to call you to fulfill your part of Where's the entrepreneurs at in this house? I'm talking to y'all right now. I'm talking to y'all right now. They ain't knowing they're saying, bro, I'm talking to you right now. Y'all, some of y'all need to be saying yes, 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 yes. I don't know what I'm saying yes to, but by faith I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes because I believe as I say yes that somebody over here is saying yes and they're hearing your word, and I'm going to get the call next week. I'm going to get the email. I'm going to get the text, whatever it is. Zacharias was being invited into a plan that was unfolding. Elizabeth invited into a plan that was unfolding. Why? Because he is working his plan. There was not one thing that exists that hadn't existed because of Jesus. And that ain't just back then. That's right now, today. All of this, say all of this, he is sovereignly, sovereignly moving through. As crazy as it may seem, in the midst of it all, the word will find you to fulfill his assignment at the appointed time. You must be willing to cooperate with the word before he arrives, before he says it. It's in John, the 6th chapter. Jesus now is walking with them, and he's been walking with the disciples for a while, and all the others that are following him around, and some of them are following for food. Some are following him, waiting for the next miracle. You know, people follow Jesus for different reasons, even today. You do know that, right? They follow Jesus for different. Some of them are waiting for the money. Some of them are waiting for the big car. Some of them are waiting for this. Some of them are waiting for that. But then there's some that just love Jesus. I just want to be in your presence, Lord. You know, I just want to ride in the boat every now. I just want to be with you. Wherever you going, I want to go. I just want to be in your presence. But there were those that were with him. And now the word is unfolding because he is working his plan. God is revealing himself through Christ. And as he walks, he's talking and he's sharing, Bonnie, and he's revealing. And they're beginning to understand more and more and more and more about who he is and what he plans to do. But some of them didn't really say yes. It was kind of like, yes, maybe. And so as Jesus is revealing and he's talking to them, and he begins to talk about being the bread of life, you can read this in John chapter 6, and he's talking about more revelation. They get challenged by it. They get challenged by it because they can't make sense of it in their minds. And Zacharias, see, he couldn't make sense of it, but he's not recognizing this isn't just about your priestly duty. This isn't just about you and Elizabeth. You are now being sovereignly pulled into purpose and destiny by the living God. You are being pulled into purpose and destiny by he who is the Word. And sometimes when God is pulling us into those places, it's hard for us to wrap our mind. We're trying to understand it. I just need you to understand. You won't get some of this stuff in your head. It's just going to stir in your heart. That's why you can't even talk about it. And every now and then, you know, it would be good, real good, if you just maybe wrote on a piece of paper or something that you could stick in your wallet or in your purse, or maybe a little placard thing that maybe you could put on your mirror while you're getting dressed. And then while you're getting dressed, just glance at it, read it, and help it to set the course for your day. It came from a Matrix movie, so this isn't my quote. Your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation. Your ability to understand it doesn't make it now, okay, we're going to do it. Not with God. Not with the Word. And so Jesus is sharing this with them. And he's saying, you know, if you're going to be with me, you're going to have to eat of my body and drink of my blood. Now, he's speaking about this spiritual place. They think it's cannibalism. Their head is way somewhere else. And then some of them say, this is a hard thing. Who can hear it? And it says this in John 6, verse 66, 666. It says that there were many who walked with him no more. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. Now, they were never really his disciples. They were just followers. Why? Because they weren't committed to cooperating with the word. See, what Gabriel did for Zacharias was help him out. He said, I'm going to help you cooperate. You ain't going to have a choice but to cooperate because you ain't going to be able to say anything. You're not even be able to hear the questions they want to ask you. He is working his plan. And lastly, you're taking notes, write this down. It's never wise to filter the word through your present situation. It's never wise to filter the word through your present situation. It's never wise to filter the word through your present situation. For your reality is not his reality. Your reality is not his reality. And what we must do is allow the word to recreate our reality. To recreate our reality. When the word came to Zacharias, that word butted up against his reality. That's why he said, okay, I need to know if you're really telling me the truth here, because this is my reality. This is my situation. But in the scheme of all this taking place, that he is working his plan. Don't you think he's already factored in you? Absolutely. He's already factored in your situation. He knows your reality better than you know your reality. And he's still coming to you saying, I got a plan. He's still coming to you saying, you've got purpose. He's still coming to you and saying, you've got destiny. He's still coming to you and saying, we got a plan together. I got something to do. You're a part of doing it. Let's go. In the beginning was the Word. All that's created is by the Word. And that Word, he is working right now. He is working right now. His plan is being fulfilled. And the reminder is to keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. I don't know how it's going to happen. Keep saying yes. I don't know if we can afford it. Keep saying yes. Yes. I can't see how this is going to work out. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Keep thanking God, keep blessing God that he is working his plan and that the word has found you in order to pull you into whatever your part of his plan is. You receive the word?
Yes.
Come on, you receive the word? Raise your expectation. Raise your expectation. Keep it high. I know this is the end of the year. I know it can get kind of tired, you know, everybody starts kind of ebbing down. But I want to say to some of you, you better be ready, because the word is about to find you. In the middle of December, the word is about to find you. I know we think it's the end of the year, but hey, God says, I don't work in your time frame. Not limited by it. I'm not wrapping up the books for 2017. Oh, I'm going to hold on to those blessings maybe to a later time. He's not doing that. He's not saying, well, I wanted to get this done, but they didn't seem to be right there. Okay, we're going to have to close this down for now. That's not where God is. That's not his reality. That's not his reality. The word is finding some of you right now. His word. He is finding you right now.